bless you. We are thankful to be here, brethren, in the presence of the Lord, though it is difficult in the situation and the circumstances that we have here in Olivet due to our structure and the lack of a land where we'll put a permanent structure. But we are grateful that we are here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Last week we have looked at the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3. We read from verse 1 to 12. We looked at John the Baptist, a man set apart by God, a man with a set apart message. We did summarize this message. So what we will do this morning, we'll read only from verse 1 to 2 and continue and look into details in the message that John was preaching. So please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to 2. The title of the message this morning: repentance in view of the kingdom of heaven. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading, the proclamation, and the listening of his word this morning. What is it that people hate the most these days? I'm not convinced that people hate their enemies more than they hate the truth. People hate the message of repentance. They hate it because it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible. They hate it because it suggests that there is something wrong within the heart of man. They hate the message because it forces people to depend on something that is outside them. It forces people to seek for help. It forces men, or it encourages men, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is still near. We are living in days where preachers and their followers have added the name Jesus in their lives without any desire, without any effort to subtract sin from their lives. People are happy with a change of belief without a change in behavior. The so-called revivals in our land today are without reformation. They are without repentance. They are without the message of the gospel. They don't point to Jesus. They point to man, what man needs to do. In our study this morning, we find what should drag men to this beautiful message, this most hated message, the message of repentance. And that is because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, according to John. The kingdom of heaven is now here. It is present. And those with a high view of God will have then an understanding of repentance in view of the kingdom of heaven. Those who have an understanding will understand that without genuine repentance, there is no entering into the kingdom of God. That without a realization that sin is against the Holy God, there is no entering into the kingdom of God. And that is the message of John this morning. But the question then is, why does this message of the kingdom of God, why does this message require repentance to those who will enter into the kingdom? Why is John not saying to the people that there should be a ritual that people do to enter into the kingdom of God? Why is John not calling people that you must be cleansed or be purified to enter into the kingdom of God? Why is John not calling people to sacrifice as it was in the book of the law? It stated that people need to sacrifice and be purified. But John is not calling people to such things. Why?
Why
is he calling people to repent?
Yes,
it is because repentance is the only prerequisite, the only requirement to enter into the kingdom of God. Secondly, it is because it is a kingdom of righteousness. So two things. Repentance is a prerequisite, the only requirement to enter. Secondly, it is because this is a kingdom of righteousness. And you see John saying to them, then produce fruit in keeping with repentance. After 400 years of silence, the first word that God speaks is repent. The last time God spoke to his people was by the prophet Malachi, and that's 400 years between Malachi and the time of John the Baptist. God was silent. The Bible tells us that there was no prophet that spoke to the people. There was no prophet that brought good news to the people. God was silent. He said nothing. He let the people continue in their sin. Not that he liked it that way. But now, the first thing that he says, repent. It requires a complete change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude towards God, not simply remorse of your sin. Something that will allude to one's action and life choices. A turn or a change from one way of thinking and one way of living to a different way of thinking and living. It involves a heartfelt sorrow or a deep regret of sin as an offense and dishonor to God and to the law of God. Look at your Bible, verse 2. The first word, repent. That is a command. John brings this as a command. So according to John, there is no other way but to repent. There's no option but to repent. A decision here is required. Somebody needs to take a decision to turn. Although the decision is not what saves, but it is a prerequisite that men may repent. Repentance is a prerequisite and is a requirement. You need to repent. The decision must be made. In these words, repent as a commandment, it comes also as an obligation to the people. An obligation, something that remains of, as a responsibility to you, to those who hear the words. He speaks to those who are by birth Gentiles and foreigners to the commonwealth of Israel. He speaks to the Jews who are by birth belongs to them, the covenants, the promises of God. He speaks to both. Because both have sinned. Both the Jew and the Gentile have sinned before God. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So there has to be a broken and a contrite heart. In verse number 6, we see that it says they confessed their sins. They did not engage in some kind of a theological argument with John. But the message of John affected them emotionally. The words of John addressed their very soul. Repent. According to Jesus, if you read in chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus speaks the same way. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So according to John, according to Jesus, according to the apostles, this is a prerequisite. This is the only puzzle that is remaining for men to fix, to do. So if repentance is a prerequisite, then it means we cannot separate repentance and believing and having faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says here as he speaks to the people. After preaching to the people, the Bible tells us that they were cut into their hearts.
And they ask the question, brothers, what shall we do?
And then it says here, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, friends, repentance has to do with uniting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through believing on Him and having faith on Him. Repentance has to do with the receiving of the Holy Ghost, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. But what is amazing these days is that the message of repentance is no longer the main focus of preaching in our days. This message does not seem to be the most effective tool of evangelism these days. The message of repentance is no longer the effective tool of making converts. It's no longer the effective tool of bringing the elect of God together and be called a church. Though that is how John made converts, though that is how Jesus made converts, though that is how the apostles filled the churches, preaching the message of repentance, but it's no longer an effective tool today.
Friends,
there is nothing difficult that someone needs to do. There is nothing that is required for you to bring. And if you say you have not sinned, you are lying to yourself. The Bible says we make him a liar, but he's faithful and just. When we confess our sin, he will forgive us. Simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen to the promise. Listen to the promise. It's a precious promise. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is now here. It is present. This promise does not tinkle the ears of men today. It does not bring joy and gladness to their heart today, but God is calling us to Himself because He wants to have fellowship and communion with us, because He's within us. He dwells us. That if you come to Jesus, you will have eternal life and you shall not go through condemnation. But you have joy and peace. That should warm your hearts. That is more than that message. That if you come to Jesus, Jesus is willing to embrace you with His love. He's willing to make you a citizen of His kingdom, the kingdom that He has prepared beforehand. What is it that you want if this is not what you want? Entering into the kingdom of God. So this message of repentance derives from a clear understanding of the gospel then. that there is a holy God whose law is broken, whose law is violated by you and me in our sins. But in his love, he sent his son into the world to die for us, to go to the cross and carry our sins. That in his love, he sent his son to be the exact imprint of his nature, the visible image of the invisible God. That his son may reconcile us to God, because we are far from God in our sin, but only his son can bring us by the power of the cross to God. As we read these words, if John says it depends, so there is a clear understanding that there is enmity between God and man. He will not call people to repent if there's no enmity between God and man. If you are not God's enemy, God will not call you and say, come to me. Friends, repent means God has taken the first step. He came to this world through Christ Jesus, his son, which is why men must repent. He has taken the first step. He has also taken the second step of calling men to himself, saying, come there, repent from your sin, turn away from your wickedness. He calls men to repent. He commands men to repent. He leaves us with an obligation. The Bible says it is because the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So friends, God is calling his people to himself. He demands a response from us. So you must be prepared then to act with immediate effect when you hear the message of repentance. There must be that sense of agency. If I can ask a question, who of you
does
not want to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God? We all want to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God. But it is impossible for anyone to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God unless one repents, unless one turns away from his wickedness, unless one changes his mind, unless one changes attitude towards God, unless one cries and says, God, here I am, I'm a senior, come and save me. And if you repent, its legitimacy will be seen in your life by being Christ-like. Why? Because this kingdom of God is unlike the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world that you enter through hardship, that you enter through fighting skills. The kingdom of this world that requires you to be brutal and be wicked to prove yourself. So friends, the message of repentance is in one way or the other a message of conversion. It's a message of the new birth. It's a message of salvation. It is connected. There is no access into the realm of salvation unless we come to God in repentance. This tells us that we must all come the same way. Dying to self. Denying self. Submitting to Jesus Christ. Giving our lives to Him. Surrendering to Jesus Christ Himself. And that alone will bring us to the entrance, will give us the entrance to the kingdom of God. There must be a change in what we do. There must be a change in what we think. There must be a change in our actions. There must be a change in what we value. One needs to realize that God has entered into human history. And the only prerequisite to partake in His kingdom is repentance. Have you repented? Is your life a life of Christ? Is your life pleasing before God? Are you Christ-like? But secondly, we see why this message is a message that is required for one to enter into the kingdom of God. Because we are entering a kingdom of righteousness. Friends, that was the greatest news that came to John the Baptist himself. That is the greatest news that John's audience enjoyed themselves. He loved the message and he went out preaching. Verse number one. He went out preaching. He called people to God. Because he understood there is something else, there is something new that is happening. Something has drawn near. A kingdom of righteousness has come before men. Look what the audience did when they heard the message. The Bible tells us they came. They were baptized. They confessed their sins. They realized that the time to look for the kingdom of peace and righteousness has come. We are no longer looking forward, but it is now, and it is now.
So,
the message of John is telling us that then, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the inauguration or the initiation of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. And of course, brethren, entering then into this kingdom is a sign that we are on a journey to the consummation of the kingdom of God, the completion of this glorious and a beautiful kingdom of God, where we shall... where we shall enjoy the presence of God forever. When we shall enjoy the presence of God in fullness. Now we see it partially. But there will come a time where we shall see it incomplete, where we shall see it in its fullness, where we will live, a place where we live, and there will be no need for the light of the sun by day and the light of the moon by night, but God Himself shall be the light there.
Okay.
So John the Baptist is calling people. He's calling people to come to God in honor and in dignity, because this is a kingdom of righteousness. This is the kingdom of the righteous branch which God has promised that He will send into the world. Open Jeremiah 23 verse 5. Listen to what God says through the prophet. Listen to this promise. Listen. It says in verse number 5, chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. John is calling people to enter this kingdom of righteousness with honor and dignity, because it is the kingdom promised by God from days of the past. He's calling. He's calling people to enter this kingdom, a kingdom not made by human hands. A kingdom which does not depend on people's faithfulness, a kingdom that does not depend on your righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is imputed unto you if you believe in Jesus. A kingdom of redemption, not a kingdom of war and barbaric king, a kingdom of righteousness. Open 2 Samuel chapter number 7. Listen to what God says to David, a man after God's own heart.
Samuel chapter 7. O mama lo rena modimo bula reng ho ntse David munna ane anto ele munna wa anto pelo ya hae.
Verse 12 to 13.
Ho tswa ka verse 12 ya ho verse 13. Ha se o shwele me o se o ithobaletse ho botata hao. Ke tla ke se tsa mora ya tlatsa le thekella hao. Me ke tlise mmuso wa hae. O tla nkhaela ntlo.
When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, God is speaking to David here, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That is the kingdom that John is talking about. Another verse that we all know. Isaiah chapter 9. We know these verses. Listen.
Verse 6 to verse 7. Kosana ya khoso o tla hudisa mmuso wa hae o be le khoso e tsafeleng o tla busa a le tshoneng ya Dafita a o kamele mmuso wa hae a o tsitsise a o tshehetse ka toka le ka ho loka ka mehla le mehla tshiseho ya morena mabotho e tla phetahatsa hona.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over the kings, sorry, over his kingdom, to establish it to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore. I'm going to repeat. From this time forth and forevermore. From what time? From what time? The time when the child is born, when the son is given. From that time, forevermore, we are given a kingdom of righteousness in which we must enter into through repentance, through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Remember when we went through the study, our series in the book of Daniel. Remember what we read there. Let me remind you about the kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of a frightening image standing before him. You find it in Daniel chapter 2. Open there, we will read verse 37 just now. But the book tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that had a frightening image standing before him. It tells us that the head of the image was of fine gold. Its chest and arms of silver. His middle and his thighs of bronze. His legs of iron. His feet of party clay and iron. And the Bible tells us that as Nebuchadnezzar looked at it, a stone was cut out by no human hands. And he stuck the image on its feet of clay and of iron. And he broke it into pieces. The Bible tells us that the clay and the iron, the bronze and the silver and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the sharp of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away. Why? So that no trace of them can be found. But now we are told that the stone that stuck the image became a mountain, and it grew and it filled the whole earth. Then the Bible tells us that Daniel brought then an interpretation of the dream. Let's read together from verse 37 to verse 45.
For Daniel chapter 2, verse 37 to 45, yeah, chapter 2. Erewana khosi o khosi ya dikhosi o bana mudimi ya lodimong o neile musi le bolaudi le maka le tota o neile maka a go busa batho bohle mo ba pelanteng le dipatana tsana ha le di dinonyana tse fofane. O yentse mmusi wa tsena ka ofela. Sho ena ya gauta ko wena. Mmuso wa hao o tla fahlangwa ke mmuso o mong o fokalang go feta ona wa hao. O totla wa boraro e leng wa lethothe. O tla busa lefatshe lotlhe. Mmuso wa bone o tla ba maatla ba le ka tshepe. Ka tshepe e thuakanya, e silakanye ditho tsotlhe. Le ona o tla thuakanye, o silakanye. Tsole ka tshepe e thuakanya dintho tsotlhe. Tsole ka o bone go entswe maoto le menwana ka letsopa le ka tshepe. Le mmuso oo o tla arogana jwalo. O tla nne o be le maatla a kang a tshepe. Tsole ka o bone tshepe e kopantse le letsopa le bonolo. Tsole ka menwana ya maoto e ne e entswe ka tshepe le ka letsopa. Le mmuso oo o tla ba le maatla o be le bofokodi. Tsala ka o bone tshepe e kopantse le ditopa le bonolo. Dikgosi le tsone di tla leka go ikopanya ka go nyalelana. Epa dikeke sa kopana.
Friends, there's no need for more interpretation in this. It is telling us that from the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, there will be four kingdoms in this world. The first kingdom will be the kingdom of Babylon that we see in verse
48.
And the Bible continues to tell us how these kingdoms will fall, and then how they will try to mingle together, but nothing will happen. And God will set up a kingdom of righteousness, a strong kingdom that will fill the whole earth. Historically, these kingdoms have come and they disappeared.
Because
the kingdom of Babylon, that was the first kingdom. The second kingdom, the kingdom of Medo-Persia. It came and it's gone. Then came the kingdom of Greece. It came and it passed away. Then came the kingdom of Rome. 63 years before the birth of Christ. And it continued to 470 AD. But then, God says God will set up a kingdom. We see Christ coming during the reign, during the kingdom of Rome, during the kingdom of the Romans, and Christ coming in, and John the Baptist says, the kingdom is now here. That is why we read about this, because it was a prophecy that God was going to fulfill. So as we wait for the consummation of the kingdom is already here.
We're
waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Christ is already here. He reigns within your hearts. The Bible says you are seated with him in the heavenly places. You reign with him in your life in this way. Now we wait for him to come to give judgment to those who are unrighteous, those who are wicked, and take us home where we shall be with him forever. But that is why then John says we must repent and enter into this kingdom.
So the
message of John is simple then, my friends. God has already brought in the kingdom of righteousness. The divine kingdom has come down to earth. A kingdom which cannot be entered through sin and by sin. The kingdom of victory over Satan, the kingdom of the expansion of the gospel. This is the kingdom of victory over Satan. Satan is already being defeated. We are not waiting for Satan to be defeated. He's already been defeated. Done. This kingdom is a kingdom of the expansion of the gospel. We know that lawlessness will also grow in the world.
But
from the Jews and the Gentiles, God will call his elect. He calls you today to repent. Listen to Matthew chapter 12, verse 28.
Listen.
Jesus says, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you."
Matthew chapter 12, verse
28. So my friends, genuine repentance in the view of the kingdom of heaven is what is missing today. What is needed today is repentance for people to come to the kingdom of God. That is what is missing. What is needed is true believing and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Let me put it that way. Lack of belief and faith in Him is the cause of what is happening around us. So what is needed, my friends? Repentance. That is why we've got boastful drunkards around us, because there's no message of repentance. People are rising each and every morning for drinking. People have turned what is good to evil, and what is evil to what is good. People, they put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But my friends, God in His mercy and grace, He is calling His people to repent, to come to the kingdom of righteousness. And those of you who are already in the kingdom of righteousness, He's calling you to live like those who are the citizens of the kingdom. Two things. Why does the kingdom require repentance? First, because repentance is a prerequisite. It is not sacrifice. It is not purification. It is not ritual. But the message of repentance is what is an obligation for man. People need to realize what Christ has done already. Secondly, why? Because it's the kingdom of righteousness. What must you do? Flee from the wrath to come. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord bless you all.